WHD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire,
and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Eggland's Best.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. CBS News has learned new details about what Jeffrey Epstein's co-conspirator told Justice Department officials when she was questioned last month. Correspondent Tina Kraus.
Sources familiar with the matter tell CBS News Epstein's associate, Ghislaine Maxwell, did not implicate President Trump in Epstein's crimes during her recent meeting with Deputy Attorney General Todd Blanche. Discussions are now underway over whether to make the transcript public.
I didn't talk to him about it, but I will tell you that whatever he asked would be totally appropriate.
President Trump, who has past ties to Epstein, has long denied any wrongdoing.
Yesterday, a House committee issued subpoenas to the department and 10 former high-profile government officials to testify, including Bill and Hillary Clinton. Infectious disease specialists call it a bad day for science. Health Secretary Robert F. Kennedy Jr. has canceled nearly $500 million worth of grants and contracts for developing mRNA vaccines for flu and COVID. Dr. William Schaffner at Vanderbilt Medical Center.
We're very concerned because federal funding has permitted the basic science to develop the technology that then can later be applied to develop useful products.
Fire officials in California are worried a widespread heat wave will intensify wildfires raging in the southern and central portions of the state. Bulldozers have been clearing brush in Los Padres National Forest north of Los Angeles, where flames have now consumed more than 80,000 acres. CBS's Jason Allen is in Santa Maria.
The wind has been pushing the fire through these canyons, and it is testing some of those containment lines. The weather isn't offering any help for the next couple of days, with temperatures just expected to climb a little bit higher and keep drying out any remaining brush and grass.
U.S. Envoy Steve Witkoff is in Russia, with President Trump's Friday deadline for a ceasefire with Ukraine quickly approaching. The BBC's Steve Rosenberg from Moscow.
We haven't seen any signs, any signals from the Kremlin that it's willing to do a U-turn or make concessions in order to end the fighting. But we do not know what is in Steve Witkoff's briefcase.
Japan remembering the 80th anniversary of the U.S. atomic bombing of Hiroshima.
Hiroshima Kengikaigicho.
CBS's Anna Korin is there.
We have spent the last couple of days interviewing survivors. One is 96-year-old Junji Sarashina, and he was 16 years old. A concrete wall saved him. And when he emerged from the rubble, he saw this apocalyptic scene.
This is CBS News.
Eggland's Best. The only eggs with more fresh and delicious taste, plus superior nutrition. Eggland's Best. Better taste, better nutrition, better egg.
Local news, weather, and sports on air and streaming on the Civic Media app. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Quay Walker is back. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports from Green Bay, where the Packers finally have their middle linebacker, Quay Walker, back in action. The former first-round pick suffered an ankle injury last December against the Seahawks, but didn't have surgery until May.
I thought it was just a high ankle, so I thought it was just something that just was lingering on at the moment. And then I came back for OTAs and tried to do something. I just knew something wasn't feeling right. I didn't want it to, like, just to linger on throughout the season. So I was like, I think the smart idea, probably going to have surgery during OTAs and get it out of the way.
Baseball. The Brewers beat the Braves again, this time 7-2. Nothing special, just walks, stealing bases, RBIs.
We pecked away and got it done, but they left a lot of guys on base. It's kind of a little bit nerve-wracking. Freddie made some big pitches at some big times. You know, he really did. Credit to him.
That's Brewers manager Pat Murphy. The series wrapping up today in Atlanta with sports on Mike Clemens.
As Wisconsin is summer weekends being spent on the lake, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, mostly cloudy, highs in the low 80s. Some showers and storms possible this afternoon. A few storms tonight, lows around 68. Scattered storm possible on Thursday, otherwise mostly sunny and 86. For Thursday night, partly cloudy and 69.
Currently 66 degrees. Todd Alba.
Hey, everybody. Are you a little frustrated with how voting is going in Wisconsin? Well, tomorrow we'll talk about a possible solution called Fusion Voting. Join us live on location from La Crosse for Leader Ethics and Fusion Voting.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays 2 to 4.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
Where working people come to talk. It's the Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network. Join me for an honest approach to the issues American working families care about. No talking points, no focus groups. Get ready for a heavy dose of democracy, fairness, grit, and no apologies. It's current affairs from a working class labor perspective. Facts are center, science is real, and everyone gets a seat at the table. The Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
One, two, three, four.
Broadcasting live statewide from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay. This is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. A guy who's had a paper route for 25 years but never collected, Pete Schwabba.
You don't have to collect. It's on me, folks. Get your daily news here. I'm Pete Schwabba. This is Nightlight. Welcome back. We are kicking off Act 2 on this outstanding Tuesday Wisconsin summer night. My guest at the moment is Chris Rogowski. We will get back to Chris in just a minute. He is the founder of Chicken or the Egg Photography, and a local musician and photographer. So we'll jump back into that. Rob Thomas is here at 7:20 talking movies and what we can still expect at the box office as the summer goes on. And we're going to talk to Rob about his take on strip mall bars and see what Rob has to say, because he wrote a cool piece for CityCast Madison. Our question of the night, folks, is in honor of National Fresh Breath Day, which I didn't even know existed, what is the best way to tell someone they have bad breath? Do you tell them? Do you suffer through it? Do they wonder why you're crying? What happens, folks? Let us know. Be part of the show. 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Conrad has told me I have amazing breath. We don't usually get that close. There's usually glass between us, but, you know, it holds up for the most part. I went off on a Tiger Woods rant from my stand-up days. It was crazy. I haven't done that joke in ages, and I kind of laid it out there, Chris, like it was just conversational, but it was from the stand-up act, so I apologize.
Oh, well, I would have never guessed.
If that was too overt. Oh, good. I'm glad it's not a conversational. Tom from New Berlin says, worst breath is your friend has pounded too many beers down, and you're coming to the party later, and you get yeast bomb.
Ooh.
Yeast bomb there, overserve them to be insulted on their breath. Yes, I'm with you, Tom. I know that smell. Tom says, yes, a photo is worth a thousand words. And that, of course, is in reference to our current guest, Chris Rogowski. Daniel from Menasha, he's in the 920. He says, you just have to slowly remove that person from your life. Offering a mint will only hurt their feelings. That's true. And it's a quick fix. That's just a Band-Aid.
Yeah.
I like where Daniel's going with that. And I've seen Daniel's work. Remember when he came in here and he had that horrifying mask?
Yeah.
He might have some shallow graves in his backyard. I'm not making accusations. I'm just saying it wouldn't surprise me. Jim from Appleton, he's in the 920. He says the proper passive-aggressive response to bad breath from someone else is to carry smelling salts to sniff after they breathe on you to clear the smell from your nostrils. Sounds like Jim's got some experience there. Tom from Jackson says the bird seed. Do you know what that means?
Is that something to help your breath?
Eat bird seed? I'd rather have bad breath, honestly.
I mean, if it's like the spicy bird seed, maybe.
Do people eat that?
I don't know. It keeps the squirrels away.
Okay. All right. Noted. That's Chris, I'm so glad you're here for reasons other than that. But We are starting Act Two here, and we Chris Rogowski is here. He's the founder of Chicken or the Egg Photography here in Green Bay, and he is a local musician and photographer. So you have a photojournalist background. Is that a different kind of photography than, you know, say something like, do you ever, let's start here. What is your favorite thing to shoot, if you have one?
That's a good question. Years ago, it would have been bands. And it still is bands, but I think my favorite thing to shoot is whatever I'm getting in the moment.
Okay.
I know that's really ethereal, but I don't really have a favorite per se. You know, some people really specialize in one thing. And like I said before, the beat thing. So I just like whatever's in front of me usually.
That's a good answer. Yeah. Do you ever go out seeking to shoot things? Like it's a kind of a hazy night. Maybe I could get a good sunset or sunrise or people frolicking on the beach or something like that.
I have done that. When I first started in photography, I was big into nature and sunrises and stuff. So I'd always go to get the sunrises and sunsets and things like that and nature things. But, you know, ever since being in photography full time, like I don't go out intentionally now these days because I need a break from the camera.
Sure.
Usually at least.
And you do commercial stuff too,
yeah,
which keeps you busy, probably pays the bills.
A little bit more than free.
Yeah, right. And so have you ever captured anything where it's like, it just happened and you're like, oh my God, this is the coolest thing ever. Has that ever happened like unintentionally where you've captured a really cool shot?
Yeah, actually we were in India. And I captured this scene outside. We were in the bus and doing it on this tour, and I captured the scene of three guys with a newspaper, all reading it, and then immediately I was watching them as we were going by. They looked up and they looked at each other and they started laughing, and it was this like beautiful image of,
oh wow,
you know, not something you'll ever get again. And I think that's to your point about photojournalism, like that's really what I aim for, is that moment you will never get again.
Yeah.
And then not editing it. You know, what you see is what you get, other than, you know, make upping the contrast or something. But I hate post work. I absolutely hate it. If I can avoid it, I will.
All right. So that was my next. And I know exactly what you mean. Like when you capture something that you, like if I'm looking at the photograph, I can put myself there.
Yeah.
Or I can anticipate almost what they're saying. It's like a movie that you lose yourself completely in. That was one of my questions too. The shooting part, point and click, I'm sure I know more goes into it than that, but the editing part, just like movies, it can be really tedious. But what's less fun for you and what's more fun?
I think it depends. You know, if it's a project where I know there's going to be a lot of editing, I will probably aim to enjoy both parts.
Okay.
If it's something like Mile of Music, where I'm like, I got thousands of photos to edit here, and I know that they're not going to use all of them, I don't pay attention to every single photo with intricate detail, but I still make sure they look good.
Of course.
I don't want to send them junk.
Right. Where can people find out more information if they want to use chicken or the egg photography? I'm assuming you have a website, social medias, stuff like that.
Yeah, so the best place to find me if you want to work with me is my website and use the contact form, or just shoot me an email, chickenortheeggphotography@gmail.com, or text me.
Yeah,
my phone number's on there too. I do not use Instagram. Please, I don't check Instagram.
Okay.
Facebook is pretty big. If you want to follow me, that's a really good place to do that. I get a lot of follows and interaction on Facebook. I'm on LinkedIn a little bit.
Okay.
Still breaking the mold on that one, but yeah, between those three, or just talk to your friends, because someone you know knows me. I can almost guarantee it.
Interesting. You know, in one of those articles I read about you, you credited LinkedIn.
Yeah.
I make jokes about LinkedIn, saying six people notice my profile, so long suckers, you know, but like I'm on it, but I see jobs come up for radio or screenwriting or whatever, but what did it do for you? Because I don't know a whole lot of stories about LinkedIn catapulting someone to fame, you know?
Well, let me tell you. No, it didn't catapult me to fame, but what it did do, it got me a job with a family shoot with someone who works at a pretty big company here in town.
Okay.
And then That was nice. And that was my first job from LinkedIn. And then the second one was the Reed job, the first one I talked about with the bikes. Yeah. And that all happened because I tagged the company online on a LinkedIn post. It was after a nice January day. It was like 50 degrees in January, which is unheard of in Wisconsin, yeah. Right? And I went out, I rode the bike, and I took this nice picture. And like a month later, one of their marketing people reached out to me and was like, hey, we really like this. I'm going to pass your name along to our marketing, like head of marketing or something.
Yeah.
And it just kind of blossomed from there.
Wow. And they still didn't throw in a bike.
Well, that's the next job.
All right. I also, in this article I read, you were talking about a photography style. Mm-hmm. Do you have one? Like, if people are in the know in your line of work, oh, Chris Rogowski, he's a... How would they define your style?
A really good photographer? I don't know. I heard it recently, and I was going to make a Facebook post about this, but someone, I was talking to them at Mile, and they said, what I like about your photos is there's this 3D aspect to it. So, you know, there's a foreground, a middle ground, and a background. And you just have this way to make it look natural. And, you know, it's not portraits. It's photojournalism. I mean, that's really, at the end of the day, I'm really good at photojournalism. I capture the moment. Cool. You know, I do well at all the other stuff that I do, but I've trained myself to do that stuff. Yeah. Whereas the photojournalism comes naturally.
My guest is Chris Rogowski. He's the founder of Chicken or the Egg Photography here in Green Bay, and he is a local musician as well. Should we get to some of your music stuff? Because you do work acoustically by yourself, mm-hmm. or is it by yourself? Because you do have a title, The Finest Foe.
Yeah, The Finest Foe is my own solo project. That's whatever comes to my mind. And then there's Age of Fable, the full band.
And what do you prefer?
Both. My bandmates are listening. I like both.
I hate having to split the check with them at the end of the night. Right. So what kind of music is that?
The Finest Foe is like acoustic, 90s alternative stuff, and covers. And then the full band is a good old rock band, and We Will Melt Your Faces.
Sweet. Progressive rock?
Yeah. Yeah, how'd you know? Because you looked it up.
You said melt your face. It probably is in my subconscious too. But what? Is that all original stuff?
Yeah. So we've got an album out right now. It's going to be we're going back in the studio pretty soon to record some new stuff with the new guys. But yeah, it's going to be fun.
That's all. We have to play next time you come back.
That'll be fun. Hopefully I'll have it on hand.
I hope so. I know sometimes when a bunch of long hairs get together, sometimes they break up. So.
Yeah, right. We took the dreaded photo and no one's left yet. So
all right, that's good. Chris, what are you watching on TV? You work hard, you edit photos, you shoot photos, you're playing music. When you sit down at the end of the day, what are you watching?
If it's not Lord of the Rings or The Matrix or Batman, it's Egert Sukho.
And that's what you mentioned that during the break.
Yeah, Egert Sukho, and it's a super funny anime. It's on Netflix, but it's just funny. I mean, it's this little like red panda girl who works in accounting and loves to do metal screaming karaoke. And the switch between Egert Sukho and Retzko, I think is the character's name, and then the screaming guy, it's wonderful.
For someone who I've never really watched anime, and I'm intimidated by it because I don't
so
know. I honestly like animation. Like I watch, you know, The Simpsons, Family Guy, whatever. But what is it about anime that? Why would you tell me to watch it?
Frankly, I watch whatever Melanie puts on.
Is that your better half?
I apparently have a Netflix account and I don't know how to use it.
Okay,
so. It's funny, I'm a tech guy who doesn't use Netflix or anything.
Interesting.
Yeah, I just, whatever she puts on, we watch, and it's usually good.
All right, well, that's good. So she puts it on. If you don't like it, you just space out and
kind of,
say, at least
I eat my pineapple and don't do anything else.
I And, you know, Netflix is only like $2,000 a month now. So that's not bad. Right. Hey, this was fun. Thank you. It's been great to meet you, Chris, and continued success with all your photography and music. And come back and play sometime and let us know where you're playing, too. We'd love to.
Well, you know where to find me.
Yeah, for sure. All right, Chris Rogowski, ladies and gentlemen. When we come back, Rob Thomas is here, our favorite Madison-based film critic. We'll talk all things Madison and movies with Rob, and we'll read your texts. Send us a bad breath text. Text it with bad breath. Breathe on the text and send it in. It'll permeate the interwebs. All right. It's Peach Wobbit and Netflix on the Civic Media Radio Network. Can't take my eyes off. You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, Eau Claire, the Valley's home of Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
I love playing sports, especially for my school. And that's because school sports are special. It's where it's safe to fail. It's where we're taught resilience, where our fear becomes confidence. It's where we learn to get back up after every fall. School sports are where 7.8 million students go from I can't to I can.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Mommy, can I sit in the front seat just this one time? Please, please, please.
No, not yet.
But why?
Because I love you and you're just not ready yet. Now, get in the back so I can get you in your car seat, please.
Putting your kids in the right seat for their age and size is an act of love. Check that your kids are in the right seat at NHTSA.gov/the right seat. Love protects. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Matt and Air on Air.
I have a baby bird stuck in a birdhouse.
Its head is stuck.
Terry on the text line says, if you can detach the birdhouse, bring it to Ace Hardware, they can help get the bird out?
Really? Richard from Waukesha, you get the last word on this.
I like the idea of the Ace Hardware.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. But some advice is don't let them talk you into a remodeled bathroom.
Yeah, totally.
Matt and Air on Air. Weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Actor Neil McDonough. If you saw his face or if you Google him right now, you'll recognize him. He refuses to kiss another woman on camera. On the one hand, I applaud him for not kissing anyone other than his wife, but she says I don't have a problem with him if he wanted to kiss another woman. As someone who's done it, it doesn't really feel like cheating because there's people in the room. It's very mechanical.
You did write it yourself.
I did write it myself.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
Reach, engage, grow with Civic Media. Log on civicmedia.us/advertise.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Welcome back. I think that was like the first song we played, the bumper tune. One of the first ones. Because everything I picked was like, had to have night in it because it was Nightlight. But that's when we were on at like 10 o'clock at night.
Well, it's actually, like you said before break, this is Netflix. Not Nightlight, it's Netflix.
Just Peach Wobbit and Netflix. I would kill to be Netflix.
Yeah, right.
They own everything. Our question of the night, folks, you still have time to get something in. It's National Fresh Breath Day. What is the best way to tell someone they have bad breath? Would you do it? Would you ignore it and bear it and just let your eyes well up with tears? What do you do? And our next guest would not know anything about this because he has about the freshest smelling breath I've ever. And I, within 10 feet of the guy, you know he has great breath. And he is also a film critic in Madison. And he is the City Cast of Madison newsletter editor and does fine work there. You can also follow his Substack at Not That Rob Thomas. That's a lot of stuff Rob's up to, Conrad.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's a busy guy. And he joins us now here on Nightlight, as he so often does. Hey, buddy.
Hey, Pete. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm good. My breath is fresh down here in Madison.
How do you do that? What's your secret?
I don't know. I it's a good question. I don't think I could tell somebody they had bad breath. I might just suddenly give them like a Mint Oreo or something and try and just try and subtly improve the quality of their aroma.
I've been known to fake an injury and just go down. And then it's like, you know, I take a knee and then they don't know. They're none the wiser. Or a good head fake too can get you out of some,
there you go,
some bad breath radius. Hey, how are you, Rob? Are you having a good summer so far?
Yeah, the weather's been great down here in Madison after kind of a hot, sticky June and July. Yeah. Usually it's the reverse. So it's been great. Yeah. Movie-wise, I feel like we're kind of over the summer movie season. And,
okay.
You know, right, the stuff coming into theaters is kind of low-key, I think. And
right.
Yeah.
Do you have any intention of seeing Naked Gun?
I would love to. I was actually going to go Sunday night, and then it was just so nice out. I went and rode bikes with my daughters, which was awesome.
Oh, it's tough to pass up, yeah.
But yeah, yeah. But I mean, watching the original 1988 movie with Leslie Nielsen in the theater.
Yeah.
One of the great movie experiences. And then I used to watch
Agreed.
Police Squad on TV or in like the early 80s, the TV show. So I'm all in on this. Did you saw it, right?
Listen, Police Squad ran for like maybe a half a season in the late 80s.
It was like six episodes.
Yeah. And I'm like, that's one of the funniest things I've ever seen. And then it made a comeback, but I thought it was gone forever. And I thought it was so like when he looks in the telescope and he says, the microscope, he says, I don't have to look at DNA samples. He says, I don't see anything. Use your open eye, Frank. Oh, stuff like that. And I don't know, like I saw Naked Gun. I don't think they totally captured that. There's some big laughs in this.
Yeah.
But Leslie Nielsen was born to be that guy, whether it was Airplane or Naked Gun, in my opinion.
And, you know, Madison guys, right? Who did Airplane.
Zuckers,
and Naked
yeah.
Gun, Police Squad, the Zucker brothers. So, yeah, there's a although I guess they got kind of froze out of this remake from what I heard. They got paid, but when they wanted to, at least one of them wanted to offer some jokes, they were, you know, it was kind of the bad breath scenario. They were politely turned away.
Bad breath of movie involvement.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I read the thing with David Zucker yesterday that said he was developing a script where Drebin's son was in his 30s. This is years ago. So he had a great attitude, I thought. He said, I'm not going to see this movie. I don't need to see it. But I wish the director well. I'm glad comedies are back. He texted the director. I thought he had a very professional response to it. But I kind of get where he's coming from, too.
Yeah, that's nice, I think. But also, you know, I mean, I think I understand the need for the new writers and directors to do their own thing rather than lean on those guys. And one of them passed away, Jim Abrams. But
right.
But, you know, every generation gets their own Frank Drebin, I guess.
Exactly. Right? And Neeson's good, but he's like, he's just too much of an ass kicker, I think, you know, and it's like, I don't know. But anyway, there's some good laughs. I'd be curious to know what you think if you ever,
if you ever decide
to check it out. Let's talk about Sketch. You reviewed the film on your Substack. You liked it a lot and you said it was better than like Harold and the Purple Crayon. Tell us about Sketch.
Yeah, it opens, I think it's having sneak previews tonight and then opens wide tomorrow. And when I saw the trailer, I thought, oh, this is like one of those, you know, power of imagination family films and like the Harold and the Purple Crayon movie, or there was one called If last year with about imaginary friends with Ryan Reynolds. And they're just so like, I don't know, just so forced whimsy and like, but this one I thought was pretty fun. It was about this girl, probably 10, who is an artist and she's mourning her mother's passing, and she gets out all her negative emotions by scribbling in her notebook and drawing all these monsters and horrible for a 10-year-old images and stuff. And her dad's cool with it. And like, however it works, however you're processing things, that's great. But then there's like a magic pond, which, you know, most properties have, I think. Right. And
it's all how you look at it.
It is. I mean, you know, it's a perk on the real estate list. and all the monsters come to life and they're all like, they look like they're hand-drawn or papier-mâché and start terrorizing the town. So it reminded me a lot of Gremlins. or The Goonies, those kind of 80s movies that, like,
yeah,
they're kids movies, but like not for too young kids. They might be a little scary. It moves fast. It's really funny. The adult performances, I think, are great. Tony Hale from Arrested Development plays the dad. And so I thought it was good. Yeah, it was a nice surprise. I'll say that for sure. Yeah.
It's on my list now. And I don't watch a lot of kids films anymore, but like you recommended Flow and I watched that and loved it. And this has the same type of feel. Like I'll probably check this out just because it seems different. And it's getting a 97 on Rotten Tomatoes with like 30 reviews, which is really good. Yeah.
Yeah, so I think it's a fun one.
All right, Rob Thomas is here, folks. We're going to do a quick break for news, and we are coming right back. And he broke down the movie so far this year. We'll talk about that and cool bars in Madison. It's Pete Schwab and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Tap. As Wisconsin is summer weekends being spent on the lake, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
CBS News Brief. CBS News has learned details about meetings between Jeffrey Epstein's co-conspirator Ghislaine Maxwell and government officials last month. CBS's Jake Rosen.
In her interview with the Justice Department, Maxwell did not implicate President Trump in Jeffrey Epstein's misdeeds and said nothing that would harm the president, according to a source familiar with the contents of the interview.
Health Secretary Kennedy's canceled almost $500 million in funding for flu and COVID vaccine research. Vanderbilt Medical's Dr. William Schaffner.
They have been used in literally millions upon millions of doses around the world. These are very effective and very, very safe vaccines.
Kremlin says U.S. Envoy Steve Witkoff's meeting with Vladimir Putin ahead of President Trump's Friday deadline for a ceasefire agreement with Ukraine. BBC's Steve Rosenberg.
The Russian press this morning, they are not optimistic, the newspapers here, about a deal being reached. One paper says there's a 90% likelihood that Steve Witkoff's visit won't change anything.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
Quay Walker is back. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports from Green Bay, where the Packers finally have their middle linebacker, Quay Walker, back in action. The former first-round pick suffered an ankle injury last December against the Seahawks, but didn't have surgery until May.
I thought it was just a high ankle, so I thought it was just something that just was lingering on at the moment. And then I came back for OTAs and tried to do something. I just knew something wasn't feeling right. I didn't want it to linger on throughout the season. So I was like, I think the smart idea, probably going to have surgery during OTAs and get it out of the way.
Baseball. The Brewers beat the Braves again, this time 7-2. Nothing special, just walks, stealing bases, RBIs.
We pecked away and got it done, but they left a lot of guys on base. It's kind of a little bit nerve-wracking. Freddie made some big pitches. It's in big times. You know, he really did. Credit to him.
That's Brewers manager Pat Murphy. The series wrapping up today in Atlanta with Sports on Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. How much is Leo DiCaprio worth? In the neighborhood of $30 to $50 million, according to Warner Brothers and Michael Mann. Mann has a finished script for Heat 2, his follow-up to his 1995 film Heat. Attached so far are actors Austin Butler and Adam Driver. Mann's ideal budget is $200 million, which Warner Brothers balked at. Mann did a revised budget for $170 million, and Warner's told him they would like it to be even less expensive. Mann's solution, according to Hollywood Insider, is to sign Leonardo DiCaprio in hopes that it will get Warner's to sign off on a higher budget. The original film was a hit and starred Robert De Niro, Al Pacino, Val Kilmer, and Ashley Judd. The sequel will focus on tracking down Val Kilmer's character, who escaped in the first Heat. The film is not quite a lock to get made and is currently in the very early stages of pre-production. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Connecting audiences, powering brands. This is Civic Media. Learn more at civicmedia.us/advertise.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, mostly cloudy, highs in the low 80s. Some showers and storms possible this afternoon. A few storms tonight, lows around 68. Scattered storm possible on Thursday, otherwise mostly sunny and 86. For Thursday night, partly cloudy and 69.
Currently 66 degrees.
I'm Rick Smith, host of The Rick Smith Show. If you're looking for honest talk, real stories, and straight-up news that matters to you, tune in to The Rick Smith Show. We're digging into the issues that affect your job, your family, your future. Join me weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network, because your voice deserves to be heard. That's The Rick Smith Show, heard weeknights at 9 right here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
It's fun to look back and laugh now.
That was a bad day.
There are marriages that have died on less. Our first actual fight as a married couple was about the house rules of playing Monopoly. We've not really played Monopoly since. When you can modify an app, you can modify the rules of the game. Maybe there are times when you are better off just playing the computer. Play something else with your spouse instead.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. Weekdays 6 to 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Pat Kreitlow.
On Wednesday, Melissa Baldoff has our climate check, along with a guest from Wisconsin Conservation Voters on President Trump's denial of basic science.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Oh, you've been on a fast train, and it's going off the rail, and you can't come back.
Now, welcome back, folks. This is Pete Schwabe and Nightlight. That song, you probably don't know this, Con, was featured in the show The Wire. What I'm very excited about, I think it was the end of season 3, there was this great montage they did. And Dan Schaefer is coming on the show next Thursday. We're going to have a special Wire talk because he loves The Wire. Political consultant here at political guru here at Civic Media, Dan Schaefer, will be here next Tuesday, tomorrow night on the show. Northeast Wisconsin filmmaker Craig Kinnett will be here in studio, and DeAndre Marie, a local singer-songwriter, will be in the studio as well, singing. So it's kind of a Northeast Wisconsin theme tomorrow night.
Yeah.
Our question tonight in honor of Fresh Breath Day is, what is the best way to tell someone they have bad breath? Our pal, local actor Dan Davies says, just a quick question, have you been chewing on your socks? That's a good one.
Have you?
I haven't.
That's good.
Dan has about the freshest breath. Not as fresh as Rob Thomas's breath, who joins us now over the stream from our state's capital in Madison. Rob is a film critic based out of Madison. Follow him at his Substack, Not That Rob Thomas, or you can read the CityCast Madison newsletter. Rob, as always, you guys had great articles in there. We'll get to some of those. What I want to ask you about first, though, you followed suit, and you're doing like this thing that every film reviewer does. You're recapping the first 7/12 of the year. I love that.
I forgot.
That's so cliche, Rob.
Everybody does the first half. And I was like, oh yeah, I guess I should have done that. I was on vacation around New Year, 4th of July, so I did the first 7/12, the only 7/12 top 10 list you'll find out there.
And that's what makes you unique. That's why you were such an effective film critic. So let's jump into your list. Hey, first of all, where can I see 40 Acres? You reviewed that on your Substack.
That was in theaters.
Okay.
About 6 weeks ago. I bet it's on video on demand now. I'm not sure though.
I might actually watch that tonight. You gave it such a good review.
That's a good one.
Okay. So let's talk about your movies so far in the first 7/12 of the year of 2025. Number one, you have Black Bag, right?
Yeah. Nice. It's close between one and two, but Black Bag is just, I just think that's a perfect movie. I mean, right up my alley, British spy.
Yeah.
Thriller. But like much more about dialogue and performance and character than action. I mean, there's not one, but two dinner party scenes in that movie. So it's definitely not a John Wick movie, but you know, Michael Fassbender and Kate Blanchett, and it's so twisty, but I felt like I could follow it pretty clearly what was going on. The supporting performances are all great. Pierce Brosnan looks like, he's never looked in a movie before, very sort of old,
right,
and cranky, and I really liked him in it. I think that's on Peacock now if people want to watch it. It gets off to a slow start, I would say, which I was hooked, but if you're expecting thrills and spills, you might be a little surprised, but I was locked in the whole time.
It's so great. Like I agree with you, it started slow, but I have so much confidence or faith, I guess you'd say, in the writer. I think it was David Koepp, right?
Right.
Yeah. So I had faith in the writer and in Soderbergh's directing. I'm like, I know this is going to pick up. And it's not like it, like I didn't like it when it was slow. I don't mind a movie that breathes and they kind of gradually get into it. But yeah, that was a good one. And then you had Sinners number two, which I might say is my favorite of the year so far, just because it was so cool and different and like on every aspect, like the look of it, the script, the music, the direction, the acting. It was just a masterpiece, I thought.
I agree. Yeah. Like I said, they're close. Like Black Bag is very controlled and precise.
Right.
Whereas like Sinners is taking big, big swings.
And yes.
A couple of them, towards the end, I wasn't crazy about, which I won't spoil. But,
sure.
But like the way it mixes horror and historical drama, the way you just buy that Michael B. Jordan is two different people, like you just completely buy that.
Yeah.
Like, and both performances are Oscar worthy, and the way it's like, yeah, just so scary, but also thrilling and funny and very thoughtful, I think, about art and music and the way the way it's co-opted and the way it frees people. Like, it's just so much going on in that movie. Ryan Coogler, you know, should be able to do whatever he wants for the rest of his career.
Oh, yeah.
After that. So yeah. I mean, and those, you know, there's 5/12 left of 2025. So positions may change.
Something could change. You know. Yeah. So
yeah.
I want to ask you about one more. You've got it rated really highly at number three, and I think you just reviewed this recently on your Substack. I did not read that review, but Ephes?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's a great movie, and I just saw
it. Tell me about that.
I think you'd really like it. It's a baseball movie, but a very different kind of baseball movie. It's set in, I'm going to say, like, Long Island or New England or something like that in the 90s, and it's these two amateur weekend teams that are playing on this field, which is going to be torn down to build a middle school. And some of the guys are old guys who, you know, this is the height of their athletic career.
Yeah.
Some of the guys are college guys who didn't quite make it, or, you know, former college ball players. And it really is less about the game than about observing all the different characters and their interactions. And it's fantastic. Like
wow.
It's very funny. It's very unusual. Like, sometimes you're watching the action in the field, sometimes you're watching the people watching the action. The camera kind of roves around, and it's just very, you know, a comedy, but also kind of very poignant, I thought, in a way, and very wise. And it didn't really get much of a release. Somebody in town, I think it was a local, the guy who runs the local video store, kind of rented a theater and showed it, and that's why I reviewed it.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, one of my best theaters. It's weird title. Ephes.
Yeah.
And Ephes. A term I didn't know before, but I guess it's like a pitch that's so slow that it kind of psychs the batter out. They miss it.
They don't know
what
to do.
Like, well, I can hit this thing, and then somehow sneaks by. Yeah.
I thought that was a changeup, but Ephes must be like that to the 10th power.
That's not described in the movie anyway. Yeah.
You, F1 is on your list at number seven. My son has seen that, also has seen it twice. And I agree with your review perfectly. The human stuff is pretty basic, you say, but it's such a deeply pleasurable movie to watch with all of the racing. And as you say in your review, you have to see it. You don't want to watch this one on the old black and white.
No, or on your phone. I think.
Your phone,
even though it's an Apple movie, I think. Yeah. But like, I mean, I saw it with my wife, and then when I was visiting my mom, we saw it because it was the one she wanted to see with Brad Pitt. And
sure,
I'm amazed how they made that movie, because when you realize, like, the way, I don't think when I saw it the first time I realized that they were shooting it on the F1 circuit, so they get the cars and the actors out right before the race and shoot for like 8 minutes and then get them all off. And it really makes you feel like you're in the driver's seat and you are, you know, in that world.
And I
understood a lot more, especially the second time I watched it, about the strategy of it, like how the drivers work together. And
oh yeah.
When you take your pit stops and what tires you use. And it does a really good job of, like, it's not just go fast. It's like there's all these other strategic elements at play. So for me, that's one of those movies that is going to be, I think, really rewatchable just because it's so fun to watch.
Very well said. My guest is Rob Thomas. He's a Madison-based film critic and the CityCast Madison newsletter editor. Check it out if you haven't already. They do great work. Is there anything else coming up, Rob, in the summer that you're excited to see before we move on from movies?
I'm seeing TV shows that are kind of interesting to me in August, like this new Alien. Have you seen the trailer for that?
I've heard of it. I don't think I've seen the trailer.
Alien Earth. It looks kind of, it's the guy who did the Fargo TV show, which I love.
Oh, I love that show.
Yeah. So I'm interested to see what he does with it. It's set on Earth. Well, it's called Alien Earth. Of course, it's set on Earth. And it's sort of more about like the evil corporation that you sort of hear about in the Alien movie. So I'm interested in that. I'm trying to think what else. There's one called, I love the Coen brothers. And one of the Coens has a movie coming out called Honey Don't with Margaret Qualley.
Right.
He made this movie last year called Drive Away Dolls that I did not like.
I didn't like it that much either.
I missed the brother. It's Ethan Bad.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's a Coen brother, so I'll give it a shot for sure.
Sure.
Yeah.
That's awesome. All right. So let's move on here. I thought this was great. I was in Madison all week last week and I stumbled. I went to have breakfast in Middleton at a place called Grace's, and I see the National Mustard Museum across the street, and National Mustard Day was August 2nd. I'm like, this is, serendipitous. So I walked in and I had Barry Levinson, who is the curator, on the show last week. He was a great guest, knew more about mustard than anybody combined. Why is the National Mustard Museum in Madison, Rob, or Middleton?
It's kind of wild. Like, Barry Levinson, the rumor is that like, he was a attorney in Wisconsin, worked for the state, and was a loved the Boston Red Sox. I don't know if he grew up there or what, but like, when they lost the 86 World Series, he was so bereft. He went to the grocery store and he tells the story that like the mustard was telling him, if you collect us, it will, or something like that. Even though like that, this was 3 years before Field of Dreams. So I'm a little suspicious. But like, and he's just started amassing this collection of mustards, and then had a little exhibition space in Mount Horeb that doubled that in size, and then now has moved to Middleton. And it really is this like destination where you can get like mustards from like all 50 states and 70 different countries. And there's all this like, old advertising for old mustard campaigns and promotional videos. And they have a mustard tasting every year where people come and try like super hot mustards and super unusual mustards. And then they have this thing that's like a big street festival where they have, obviously mustard brats and hot dogs and stuff. And last weekend I did try, the chocolate shop had a limited edition mustard sundae.
What?
Well, it wasn't that bad. It was basically a caramel ice cream with raspberry honey mustard on it, so it was pretty good. It wasn't like a, bright yellow French's mustard.
Right. Yeah, but, we were amazed at all the stuff. He told us that story too about how he was staring at the mustard after the Red Sox lost. It was just such a great story.
Yeah, yeah.
So. That's great. And it's a great space too. It's a really nice, sparkling when you walk in there. It's incredible.
And it's right downtown. Yeah.
All right. So I want to ask you, Rob, we're going to do a very short break, and I want to ask you about strip mall bars because you seem to have an opinion on those. And then also, I ate last week, and we'll get into this after the break, but my son came over from Milwaukee and hung out with me last Saturday, and we went to the Tornado Club, and I want to talk to you about that too. So we'll do that all coming up next. Let's bang a text out here, Connor, if we can. How much time we got? We got like 3 minutes to the break? Oh, no, it's coming up. Conrad's got the fist up. That means get to the break. John Murray, our pal John, says we all know better, don't we? Unless it's your old... Oh, wait, no, I got to read. All right, he has another text I have to read first. We'll do that after the break. It's Pete Schwabe and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Want me.
connecting audiences, powering brands. This is Civic Media. Learn more at civicmedia.us/advertise.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. You may think racial gerrymandering happened long ago and just in southern states with legacies of suppressing African Americans. Think again. Anti-voter legislatures around the country still employ racial gerrymandering to retain political power. In addition to recent racial gerrymandering cases involving African Americans in Alabama, Louisiana, Florida, South Carolina, Texas, and Arkansas, there have been multiple racial gerrymandering complaints from Native Americans in North Dakota and Hispanic Americans in Washington State and Texas. To provide equity and representation, the Voting Rights Act Section 2 allows districts of dense populations of minority voters to choose the candidate of their choice, but elected officials continue to evade those rules. South Carolina's legislature split Charleston by moving 30,000 residents from 11 of 12 of the highest concentrations of black voters into another district, in the words of the lower court, bleaching Congressional District 1. Louisiana's population is almost 33% black, but Louisiana's legislature defiantly drew only one of its six congressional districts as a majority-minority black district, diluting the rest of their vote. A county in North Dakota elected its commissioners at large to reduce the chance of a Native American candidate being elected. Tomorrow, we'll tell you how some states prohibit gerrymandering and create fair maps. I'm Brian Beal.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
I guarantee you there's a market for people who want to watch a middle-aged guy change his clothes, do his dishes. People are so bored and will look at anything. So what I thought could be fun, and Conrad, I need your okay on this. I would never, you know, volunteer you for this, but you and I should both set up OnlyFans page and see who gets more followers.
I'm okay on that. I don't think
he's blushing.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
My name is Damar Hamlin. I play for the Buffalo Bills, and I play safety. CPR saved my life. I've teamed up with the American Heart Association as a national ambassador to help create a nation of lifesavers, turning bystanders into lifesavers through CPR education and access to AEDs. Nearly 3 out of 4 cardiac arrests that don't happen in hospitals happen in homes. Join me to ensure everyone has the chance to live longer, healthier lives. Visit heart.org/nation.
Matt Nair on air.
Here's my gripe. MTV made it possible for really subpar performers to become stars. Madonna would never have been a star if it hadn't been for MTV and her grinding her way across the floor in a wedding dress.
See, that's where I think your gripe isn't with MTV. I think your gripe is with Madonna grinding on MTV.
Thank you, Matt from Richland Center. How dare you, Jane?
Matt Nair on air. Weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. As Wisconsin has summer weekends being spent on the lake, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Welcome back. This is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. We are winding up this Tuesday night with our old pal and Madison-based film critic Rob Thomas. We will read texts from Conrad's mom and our pal John Murray in just a moment, too, to close out the show. But right now we have a few more minutes with Rob. Rob, you did a great, I don't know how you guys do this, but CityCast Madison, you pick great things to talk about that I find interesting. And what is it about a strip mall bar? I read this actually yesterday, and I just found it fascinating. What is your take on strip mall bars?
Well, I think, you know, there's something about a strip mall bar. Like, you can't put on airs in a bar that's sandwiched in between a laundromat and a Subway, you know?
Get your nails done, go right, for a martini, right. Yeah.
And then go get your taxes done. And right. There is this thing, in Madison at least, where these strip malls, you know, away from downtown, which are where a lot of the cool places like the Tarana Room is, for example.
Yeah.
These little strip malls are kind of, they're not dying, but they're sort of just hanging on, and people are moving in and opening these really cool bars. Like there's one called Lola's on the north side of Madison, which is this cool bar where they play vinyl and they have great cocktails. And
yeah.
There's one on the east side called the Muskie short for the Musk Lounge.
Musk Lounge.
Yeah, where they have great cocktails, nice big space, lots of like parlor games and stuff. And they really become these, you know, community hubs. They're really fun. And in Madison, the sort of the granddaddy of this is Le Tigre, which is this
right.
bar in this very unassuming strip mall on the west side, which has been there for like 60 years. And it's like a time machine. It's like, you know, the waiters all or the bartenders all wear white shirts and ties.
Love it.
Swear when you're in there. They make the wow. most classic cocktails, martinis, Manhattans. And the whole place is Le Tigre. The whole place is covered in like, you know, velvet tiger paintings and stuffed tigers and all this kind of stuff. It's great. I mean, it's a must when you come to Madison. So, yeah. So I wrote an article about kind of the best strip mall bars in town and kind of what makes them special. And it's pretty cool. I mean,
it's just a great angle to write about. That's why you're good at what you do. Like, I would never think, I should write about bars and strip malls, but my eyes went right to it and I was fascinated by it. So did you ever go to Smokey's when that was still there at
No,
the
I always wanted to.
Same.
They announced they were closing. I was like, I got to go. And then everybody wanted to go before they closed, you know? So
yeah,
I really missed out on that. Those kind of old places, there's another one on the south side called Feelers, which is another very old school Madison spot. Yeah, you gotta treasure those before they're gone.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And now you drive by where Smokey's was, and I've walked past that a few times. There are times when I was ambitious where I'd walk from like Midvale or the Target all the way back downtown if I had time to kill, and I walk by Smokey's, and every time I walk by, I'm like, I have to go in there. And I never did, and I'm kicking myself. But that leads me to another place. I'd love to get your thoughts on the Tornado Club. We just had such a fun time there, and it was a great steak, too.
Yeah, a wonderful place downtown. I don't go there enough, but it is a place where, like, when people come to town, you show them off by taking them there. My dad's coming to town next month. I think I'll take him. And, you know, very great cocktails, great steaks. And the secret is, you know, it's pretty pricey, but, like, if you go in after 9, they've got this late night menu in the bar, which is pretty affordable. And you get like a burger or like, you know, mussels and frites or something like that. So, another Madison institution that that people love.
I got lucky because I knew my son was coming to town. I went in there on a Tuesday and I said, can I get, at 8 o'clock, will you still be serving dinner? There's two of us. And she said, no, we're booked up through the weekend. And she said, I can put you on a wait list or something. And she said, name. And I told her my last name. And she goes, from Civic Media?
Whoa.
I was like, I think Civic Media has arrived. She said, you know what? I can get you in the bar if it's just two of you. And Rob, I almost invited my niece Caroline to join us because we were going to meet up with her later. The table was like the size of a quarter, but we didn't care. It was like the greatest food ever. And we just had a blast. It's an old school place. Absolutely loved it.
So I know which name to drop next time I'm there. Okay. It's enough.
Rob Thomas with Civic Media. Hey, thank you, buddy. Always fun.
Yeah. Thanks, Pete.
Yeah. Anytime. All right. Rob Thomas, ladies and gentlemen, check out his work at CityCast Madison or follow him at Not That Rob Thomas on his Substack and read his reviews. We've got a couple of texts we'll get to here before we sign off for the evening. Conrad's mom says, where is that text, Conrad? Oh, she says, If it's someone I don't know, I won't say anything. But if it's a real close friend, I will let them know nicely. How do you do that? Hey, your breath is really smelly.
Hey, just letting you know, your breath sucks.
Yeah, your mom's so nice. She says, I would want to know, along with that, if I had any food stuck in my teeth. All right, well, that's very well done, Paula. Thank you. Great text. And John Murray, our pal from Madison, is listening. He says, Peter, really enjoying the show tonight. Your guest, Robert, I think he means Chris.
Yes.
He has to mean Chris because his last name was Rogowski. Maybe he thought that was Robert. But he says, your guest, Chris, is one clever dude. Always wanted to be a Playboy photographer in my youth. Join the club, John. Then I switched to regular boring jobs because I'm not enough like Chris. Nice job, Chris. He kept saying Robert. That cracked me up. John says, continues with another text. He says, and there was no internet in my youth. Dang it anyway. Yeah, I feel your pain on that one, John. He says, here's what John would say if he knew someone with bad breath. He said, yo, dog, your breath has the funk of 1,000 jackals. About a mint or a root canal, you pick. John says, if it's a lady, well, that's a tough one. Indeed, John. Then he says, oh, we all know better, don't we? Unless it's our own lady, then we know a way to keep dignity intact. You feel me? I feel you, John. And I think, John, he referred to his wife as his old lady the other night.
Old lady.
That's like a bygone. I haven't heard that in so long.
Yeah, you don't say old. You say old.
My old lady. Well, you are saying old lady, even though she might not be old. That's just a phrase. But that's John's old school.
O-L-E. Old lady.
All right, we'll debate this until we're on the air tomorrow night. It's Peach Wava and Nightlife, folks. Thank you to everybody. Thanks for your texts and calls. On behalf of the lovable producer, Conrad, I'm Peach Wava saying goodnight, Wisconsin.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. The Kremlin says Vladimir Putin's met with U.S. Envoy Steve Witkoff ahead of President Trump's Friday deadline for reaching a ceasefire agreement with Ukraine. The BBC's Steve Rosenberg's in Moscow.
Mr. Trump himself has doubted publicly whether further sanctions will actually put pressure, enough pressure on Vladimir Putin to change his approach to the war in Ukraine.
We're learning details about Justice Department interviews with Jeffrey Epstein's co-conspirator, CBS's Tina Kraus.
Sources familiar with the matter tell CBS News Epstein's associate, Ghislaine Maxwell, did not implicate President Trump in Epstein's crimes during her recent meeting with Deputy Attorney General Todd Blanche.
New research finds a link between kids who spend a lot of time on their screens and obesity, high blood pressure, and diabetes later in life. The Heart Association's Dr. Amanda Marmick-Perrick.
It's not realistic to think that modern kids are not going to use screens. It's just a matter of parents using their best judgment. They know their kids.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.